unruffled beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch signals Thursday, 10 p.m., and time for So What's Your Story? Always live and the only show originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling. Right here. Only on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubichek, Professor of Communication Studies at the University of Houston Downtown, along with indispensable Shannon McKerchie, working the boards. A little bit of a surprise tonight before we get going. I have got tickets to a show that I think you'll be intrigued by. Welcome to Night Vale is showing at the Cullen Performance Hall at the University of Houston on April 10th, 2015 at 8 p.m. This is a widely popular serial podcast that brings you stories from a strange desert town of Night Vale, complete with weather, news, and a dark-headed figure with unfathomable powers. These are stories that are brought to you in the form of a community radio. Now, Night Vale is a tour extending through Mid-Bay, and this podcast has grown to be one of the most popular in the world. You give us a call. First caller gets two free tickets. Can you say free? I like to think so. Give us a call at 713-526-5738. Again, that is 713-526-KPFT, JAM-KPFT. Shannon will take your call. Shannon will get your phone number, and you will have two tickets at Will Call that night, and you're going to love it. You know, when I think of how many stories are told on this program, I'm amazed that there haven't been more about our little furry friends. Now, many guests have made references to them, meeting men in dog parks, using your German Shepherd as a babe magnet, and how my dog really did eat my homework. Well, you know, my Chihuahua puppy Simon, he does eat homework. Just wanted to let you know that. Now, no offense to cats, but tonight it's all about dogs. It's my party, and I'll bark if I want to. Now, this poetic sentiment by Carol O'Brien punctuates our love affairs with Fido. If I were a dog and you were a teacher, listen carefully. When loved ones come home, always run to greet them. Never pass up the opportunity to go for a joyride. When it's in your best interest, practice obedience. Stretch before rising. On warm days, stop to lie on your back on the grass. On hot days, drink lots of water and lay under a shady tree. Never pretend to be something that you're not. Delight in the simple joy of a long walk. You know, dogs are magnificent creatures. Sometimes there are people out there, idiots, I think, who say, you know, I wonder if dogs really feel, if they really love. They've never seen one. They've never had one. And tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about why dogs rock, because tonight, we're going to be looking at spotlight storyteller Evelyn Valdez. Evelyn is a biology major at UHD, a former student in my storytelling course, so you know she's going to be flawless. And she's also part of the Scholars Academy, in which she is a peer mentor. Evelyn, hi. You've got your entire family over there. You have 47 people to the left of us. They're jammed into a little closet taking your picture, right? Does that make you nervous? Because it should. It makes me nervous. I've never looked worse, and they're taking our photographs. Now, first of all, tell us what a peer mentor is. That's fascinating. What does a peer mentor do in that scholar program?
Well, Scholars Academy is a scholarship program, and it's all built upon support, a support system. Whether you're just a freshman starting out and you don't really know what to do, as peer mentors were there to guide you. Or, I mean, I have people in my group that are about the same age as I am, mm-hmm. and it's also about kind of struggling through our majors together.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
But when you have support, it's easier to go through your degree program.
Yeah, people get lost. They do. They get lost. Oh, yeah. They need guidance. They need direction. We all do, and you do a great job at that. You know, a few weeks ago, Evelyn, Stephen Winkler, I don't know if you remember, he was a classmate in, mm-hmm. in the class that you took with me, and he was on the show. He talked about the loss of his father. He did absolutely fantastically, and he's a math major, and you're a biology major, and the trend is sort of interesting. Storytelling isn't just for humanists anymore. Why'd you enroll in a storytelling course?
Well, one, I needed a speech credit.
Needed a speech credit, of course. Yeah. And you do have to talk in that class.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you like it or not, you got to say something.
But it's interesting because you learn that for an interview, you have to convince someone of your story. Why should they hire you? Why do you deserve to be in their workplace?
Yeah, beautiful point. You do have to have a personal narrative. You do. You have to give an example of something. If somebody asks you, why are you a great leader? You can't just say, because, mm-hmm. although some people try. you have to have an example, right? You have to mm-hmm. have adjectives and descriptors that somehow characterize your very self, and you're absolutely right. And I know that you don't like speaking, public speaking, because it's really structured. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, my public speaking students don't like structure either. That's why they all can't give a speech. They hate structure. But storytelling does have a structure. It does have a beginning and a middle and an end. And that's what you've learned very, very well. There's a level of coherence that a story in and of itself has to have. And tonight we're going to examine that by looking at the context of a dog. Now, were you surprised when you learned anything in that course at all?
I never knew that I could connect so much to someone telling a story, to someone that I've never even met before.
Yeah, you were saying that there were some stories that really made an impact on you. What's an example of one story that a student told that really made an impact on you?
Well, I never really understood anxiety or how it worked or how someone felt through it. And there was one girl that talked about what caused her driver's anxiety and how she was going through it. And just to see her brave enough to get in front of us and speak about it really made me understand what it means to go through it.
It's a great lesson in empathy. You know, getting back to dogs for a moment, because that's the theme for tonight, I hate the term dog owners because we don't own our dogs any more than we own our children. Growing up, my family never entertained the thought of having a dog, and I think I shared this with you, and we share this in common. They didn't dislike them, but it was clear to me at a very young age that a dog was not to be in my life. I used to hang out with my relatives' dogs more than my relatives, and if you knew some of my relatives, you'd understand why. But even when I was an adult with a dog, my mother would remark, "I never knew you loved dogs so much." Well, no one ever noticed. She never noticed. But our dogs notice, don't they? They have a similar experience as we do. That exchange is magnificent. You have a similar story, don't you? Yeah. Tell us about Pinky.
So growing up, my dad always told us he'd probably never get us a dog, that they're stinky, that they're this or that, and we'd always beg and beg him to get one. And then I remember I was in second grade, and I came home, and I opened the door, and I see this white fluff ball just running towards me. I remember just dropping to the ground, just hugging her, because I was so excited because my dad finally caved in, and Pinky came into our lives. I would always love coming home to her. Every day I'd come home from school, it was my favorite part to do, because she would always run to the door front, run and greet us, or jump up and down, whine, and you'd have to pet her. And then eventually over the years, it went from her running to the door to her slowly walking to the door. And then eventually you had to go to her bed and you had to greet her whenever you would come in. And you'd always either get a tail wag or she would growl at you, depending on what mood she was in. But either way, she'd always be there for me whenever I'd come home. But one day when I came home, I couldn't find her. Pinky, I started looking everywhere. I looked under my bed, looked all over the rooms, and I couldn't find her. Then I decided to look in the backyard, and I found her on her little day bed, and she was just kind of laying there. Pinky scared me, so I went up to her, I bent down, I started petting her. But she didn't look at me, she didn't wag her tail, she just kind of stared off into space. So I thought, okay, maybe she's just taking that. Maybe she's just tired because she was getting a little older. So I just bent down, I kissed her little head, and I went back upstairs to do homework. A couple hours later, I come back downstairs to check up on her, and she was still laying in her little day bed. And then it kind of started to worry me because it had been a couple hours and she hadn't moved. So I went to go get her a little piece of chicken because she loved chicken, and I bring it to her. She didn't even sniff it. She didn't look at it. She just still laid there. That's when I knew something was wrong. So I started looking up vet offices, and it was kind of late into the evening, and nobody would take me in, or everybody was closed. And then finally, one animal hospital told me that I can take her in, that they're willing to look at her. So I get into the car, my mom's driving, and I'm holding my baby just in my arms, just really worried. We're driving down the road. Then halfway down the road, my mom just kind of stops the car. I tell her, "Mom, what are you doing?" And I look at her, and she just starts crying. And she tells me, "You know what's going to happen if we get there." And I tell her, "Yeah, but, you know, Pinky." And then we both decided, okay. So we turned the car around and we decided we'll let her wait out through the night. That night, I'll never be able to forget it, because the whole night she was not really screaming, but more of like a screech. It's a noise that I've never heard any animal make before, and you could just hear the pain through her little screeches. And that's when I started to get really worried, and I couldn't sleep, and I started looking up vet offices, and I found one that opened at 8 a.m. in the morning, and I decided I'm going to take her first thing. So when morning came, I took her in the car, and we drove to the vet office, and I get there, and I get out of the car, go over to the passenger seat, and I try to pick her up, and I couldn't. It was like she was just lifeless. I couldn't hold her in my arms. She felt like a little rag just slipping through my fingers. So I had to hold her in her bed, and I walked in, and I tell them, "Somebody please help me. Someone please help my baby." And the nurses tell me, "Ma'am, please just take a seat. Calm down. There's someone in front of you." And I tell them, no, someone has to help me. Something's wrong with her." And they just kept telling me, "Ma'am, take a seat." And it was just back and forth arguing. And finally took a seat. I was just really impatient. I was looking down at my baby. And that's when Pinky started to scream in the vet's office. Then the nurses come over and they tell me, okay, we'll take her. And I look down at my baby and she kind of looks up at me. And that's the first time that I really saw a sort of peace in her eyes. It was like she was telling me it was going to be okay. So I hand her over to the nurses. They take her back there. Not even a minute or two later, the vet comes back out and asks me to go back into his office with him. So I go back into his office. I sit down and he tells me, "I'm so sorry for your loss." I tell him, "You're sorry? You're sorry? I brought her to you for you to fix, and you're sorry?" And I was really angry, and really it wasn't his fault, but I needed someone to blame, because just like that, my baby was gone.
They are soulful free creatures, and you know, you've told that story several times. When you tell that story, it looks like you're telling it for the first time. You're recreating it in your mind, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a difficult one. It's so difficult to recreate that. And that is so beautifully, beautifully, beautifully told. This is Hank Rubicek with Shannon McCurchy and guest teller Evelyn Valdez issuing a tissue alert on So What's Your Story, only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston, or KPFT.org if you're listening online. But whatever avenue you selected to get here, I am awfully glad that you are here. You know, my brief story about my beagle Sadie isn't going to dry anybody's eye either. But it's important for us to be really reflective about these. And I hadn't really thought about this story, Evelyn, until I heard yours. And you really inspired me, because I had, two dogs, Sadie and Hannah. Sadie was a little beagle, and Hannah was a mini dachshund, who was a little larger because she was on the heavier side. So let's just call her kind of a quasi-mini. And they were both the most lovable little things ever. They were both women that I spent more time with than any other woman I've ever known. No kidding. And they were everything to me. They got me through some very difficult times. Sadie in particular was really my dog, you know what I mean? And whenever I drove, Sadie would get right into the middle, sort of like Snoopy with those goggles, as if she was my co-pilot. And she always gave that impression. I'll never forget the time when she was no more than a year old. I was stopped at a traffic light on Montrose in Richmond. And there was a gentleman to my right. It was a beautiful day. Windows were open. People had their tops down if they had convertibles. And there was a gentleman who was terribly disfigured. It was very clear that he was badly burned. His face was badly, badly burned and terribly scarred. And people looked away from him because, you know, you don't want to look because you don't want to think that you're staring. And it was very awkward for most people to look at him. Sadie, on the other hand, in the back seat, looks out the window, wagging her tail, staring right at him. He looked at her, and she was barking. He smiled, and it made his day. It absolutely made his day. Probably Sadie's day, too. All she did was bark and smile and wag her tail and, you know, one of those. And they just smiled at each other. Just a smile. It was just an episode, a very small gesture. She was playful. She was open, accepting, loving. Everyone mattered to her. Everyone mattered. No one was ever turned away. No one was ever turned away. And when I needed to put her down a couple of years ago, she was a little over 16, she was riddled with cancer, lymph nodes out of control. She was in tremendous pain. And I held her in the vet's office. My heart dropped. I remember saying a prayer. And the vet, a very, very wonderful, wonderful vet, asked me if I was ready And I said yes. And the shot was administered, and I was told, she's gone. She's gone. And I thought for a moment that she can't possibly be gone, but she is, and she was. And then something incredibly, incredibly spiritual occurred. Within 30 minutes, less than 30 minutes, I drove back to my home, and as I drove in, there was a set of mailboxes where residents get their mail. And there was a gentleman, probably 35 years old, who I've never seen before. Never. And you know everybody who lives around there. I never saw him before. He had sunglasses, and he was walking two beagle puppies. And for a moment, I looked at him, and he looked at me. There was no reason for him to look my way, but he did. And he was walking those two beagle puppies. He waved to me like an angel who knew who I was. It was really puzzling, and it was a fabulous feeling. It was overwhelming, and I remember that, and I'll never forget it. I looked over at this gentleman, sunglasses, about 35 years old, ordinary looking, walking two beagle puppies. I waved at him, and he waved back. I never saw him again. Isn't that something? I never saw him again. And I'm not an especially religious person, although I certainly believe in God, and I certainly believe in an element of spirituality, but I thought about that a great deal. And I know that there are many people who believe that dogs are spiritual creatures in many ways, and in doing a little bit of research, and I wanted to share this because this is exactly what I think about when I think about that experience that I just shared. In their book, Angel Dogs, Divine Messengers of Love by Alan Anderson and Linda Anderson, they suggest that dogs serve as messengers from spirit. They communicate many different messages from God. They write in their book, dogs bring to humans such messages as, you are loved, you're not alone, you are protected and guided by a divine higher power. Dogs deliver messages such as, when you're lonely, weary, overwhelmed by life's burdens, I'm here. And Sadie is always here. And that's what I think about. For the love of dogs, with guest Evelyn Valdez on So What's Your Story, only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. Shannon, any thoughts about this dog-human relationship? You're a dog lover.
I am a dog lover. I love dogs more than I like people.
I don't blame you there. Well,
I'm telling you, I like people. Yeah, but I'm telling you, there's a fine, dogs are that important.
I understand. I got you. We got you. Okay. But you've had dogs before.
Oh, yes.
And I know this is not an easy one to talk about, but tell us about that one special little guy.
My Sunny Bear, she lived for 13 years. She would go on every run together, and just she would take herself on runs. And slowly, she started just going so much slower and having to drop herself off and just take breaks. And she was 13 years old. And she passed away at the bottom of the stairs on St. Patrick's Day morning.
Wow.
And that evening, we had a wake for her. Mm-hmm. We buried her under a willow tree.
Yeah.
And it was just, a beautiful moment. And she gave us all the sunshine in the world.
Yeah. Good for you. You know those people who say they're only dogs? I want to hang them. Anybody want to join me? Yeah, can we hang them? Can we just hang them?
I find it racism altogether.
Yeah, let's just do that. Listen, Shannon, I want to just shift gears for a moment. Shannon not only does a superb job at composing storytelling updates, festivals, information about guests, and so much more on our Facebook, but you folks, if you haven't seen it, you have got, and I mean you have got to run to our Facebook page and check out the great photographs of our four-legged friends that she put on there. We have a showcase of Pinky, of course, Evelyn's dog. Gorgeous. What a gorgeous, gorgeous photograph. Then we have Sadie. We have Hannah. And then we have my new little guy, Simon, who's just a pistol and a half.
We have a wonderful collection of pictures.
It is really, it's quite amazing. But seriously, you folks got to get on and see this. It's just unbelievable.
Dearest darling.
Just visit our So What's Your Story Facebook page and behold the wonders of Shannon. And my God, like us when you leave. Shannon, what's on tap for next week? Who's on tap?
Well, we have Maisie Wiltshire.
Maisie! Gordon. Driving Miss Maisie.
Yes, and she is a moth teller who did a fantastic fantastic job. She was just adorable with such a sweet, charming story about trying to make friends.
She's
going to
make
city.
Us laugh because we need it after this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
We need it after this week. We're going to need tissues for another reason, right? She's one of those, a real gut pleaser, just someone funny.
Oh, yeah. She
funny,
just
funny,
has
funny.
An adorable, quirky story.
I love it. Okay. And thank you, Shannon. And we need to remind everybody of our proud sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild, which is hands down really the best storytelling group in the state. Shannon, please tell us where and when this great group meets.
Well, Hank, we hold monthly story swaps on the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Multi-Service Center at 1475 West Gray. And check out our brand new website at HoustonStorytellers.org for all the fun happenings.
All those fun happenings. Thank you, Shannon. You know, I'm sorry to stay with this poignant tone, but I think it's a feeling to explore more often than we think. I found a heartrending narrative online by an owner. It's an owner, by an owner, of a black lab named Duke. It's written on in Duke's voice. Now, this isn't going to really do justice because you have to imagine these beautiful photographs of this gorgeous black lab smiling with children, eating a hamburger, enjoying life. But this is his last day of life. It's a rhythmically peppered presentation throughout this personal reflection. And I hope I get through it. Let me just share this with you. Imagine photographs. It's entitled, I Died Today by Duke Roberts. I died today, and I laughed, and I thought about how much I'm going to miss it here. We told jokes. We were serious. My friends from next door came to see me. They're twins. When someone offered them one of my hamburgers, one said, no, thank you. I don't want to take any from Dookie. Kristen came to see me. She's a hoot. She's a groomer and my buddy. While we were waiting for the vet to come, Kristen said we were going for a walk. And then someone said, how about a play in the water at the splash park down the street? So off we went. You know I'm going to miss you, right? And you too, right? I need you to help me watch over my family. Did you hear me? This is all I want. We got wet today. We smiled today. We felt grateful today. We broke the rules today. I listened to the kids play off in the distance and thought about my two babies at home. I loved protecting them. I relaxed today. I felt no pain today, even though the tumor grew so big. I felt the love today. I said goodbye to my beautiful friends, and Kara in particular, and she said that she saw me standing over everybody before the doctor said it was time. I was excited and jumping and happy. I didn't say goodbye. I said we'll meet again. God, I was lucky. Our time was short, but you both gave me a second chance, and we lived it up together. You love when I look at you, and I'll always look at you. I'll never stop. Well, anybody have any good jokes lately? Yeah, right. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. But it's an important one, I think, right? You know, the voice of the owner speaking that tells us about the incredible intense relationship that we have with our animals, doesn't it? It's the incredible relationship that we have, and it is really indescribable most of the time. You know, Shannon shared a quick story about her loved one, and it's hard to get through. They do something to us that people don't. We don't love them more than people necessarily. We love them differently. There's something unconditional about them. We hear that word an awful lot when we think about our dogs and cats. We think about terms like unconditional, and that's what it is. That's what accepting is. It doesn't make any difference who you are. I love you, and I don't want you to change. I don't want change. I just want you who you are. And that's something that we really have to capture, I think. Any shout-outs? You got any people out there who's listening to you tonight, Evelyn, other than your family?
Other than my family.
Or is it
there.
Like me, you have no friends and nobody else is listening other than them? Anybody?
Well,
listening to you tonight?
I for sure posted it on Facebook, and I'm pretty sure Scholars Academy, well, a lot of Scholars Academy members.
How many people are in that, by the way?
In Scholars Academy?
Yeah.
I think about 150 students
now.
No
kidding. How many do you mentor?
My group is about 12 students.
Listen, just to change the subject for a moment, you said that you did some research in California on, what was that, water temperament? What was that? What is that?
Basically, plant water transport.
Who's interested in that? You're interested in that?
What is that? Definitely.
Yeah, pretend I'm 5 years old and tell me what that means.
Okay, well, you know how plants need water?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Okay, well, we're just studying the way water moves
through it. That's why they die. Oh, my God. You learn something every day. No wonder mine are dead. Okay, they need water.
And we just study the movement of water. Every plant has a different way of moving water through it.
Yeah. And you study that.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that fascinating in a couple of words? I'm interested to know. Why is that so fascinating?
It's just interesting to see how each plant is different and its mechanisms are different within it.
Living things. You like living
things.
Yes. Yeah. They're dynamic. They evolve. Okay. How about something a little more upbeat? I love this little dog story. Listen to this one. It's called New Dog. Okay. An older, tired-looking dog wandered into my yard. I could tell from his collar and well-fed belly that he had a home and was taken care of. He calmly came over to me. I gave him a few pats on his head. He then followed me into my house, slowly walked down the hall, curled up in the corner, and fell to sleep. An hour later, he went to the door, and I let him out. The next day, he was back, greeted me in the yard, walked inside, and resumed his spot in the hall, and again slept for about an hour. This continued off and on for several weeks. Curious, I pinned a note on his collar. I would like to find out who the owner of this wonderful sweet dog is and ask if you are aware that almost every afternoon your dog comes to my house for a nap. Well, the next day he arrived for his nap with a different note pinned to his collar. He lives in a home with 6 children, 2 under the age of 3, and he's trying to catch up on his sleep. Can I come over tomorrow? I just thought, you've heard that one before? No? Why are you laughing? Shannon is great. She laughs even before you're supposed to. You know that? I love that. Yeah, she was crying before she told the story. Then she told the story. She's an amazing person. This emotional reciprocity, you know, is great. And in reversal, it's even better. She reverses all of her feelings. I love that. Anybody call about those?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Who?
Joe.
Joe.
Joe was the final winner, and so we have all of his information.
Joe?
Yes.
Who is a Joe? But Joe's getting 2 tickets.
Yes.
You got his number, right?
Yes.
You're going to get his number. Joe, congratulations. You are the proud winner of that great podcast, and you're going to enjoy it.
Yes.
Thank you very, very much. All right.
Thank you,
listeners,
Joe.
To So What's Your Story? Excellent, excellent, excellent. We're just about out of time. How was this? Not bad, right?
Oh, yeah.
Better than you thought on a 1 to 10 scale?
I mean, it went by pretty fast.
On a 1 to 10 scale?
Oh,
11?
10.
10? Okay,
oh.
That's
well,
as
maybe
good as
12.
It gets. Okay, well, whatever you say. Hey, what are you going to do, right? In the meantime, thank you so much, Evelyn, for capturing such tender memories and for prompting us to treasure the unshakable and unwavering relationships between our dogs and us. Now there's no reason to beg for Scooter. He's in. Just sit. Here he is. He's coming up. He's coming up. Don't even think about going because Scooter is up next with the inner side to complete the back side of this power hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day. And while you're driving home, turning in for the night or just chilling out, join us every Thursday at 10 for So What's Your Story and ease into the weekend right. You keep loving a great story, and I'm going to keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. Till next week, I'm Dr. Hank reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
Join us for the 29th annual Texas Crawfish and Music Festival, April 24th through 26th and May 1st through 3rd in Old Town Spring, featuring Stepper Doe, Friday, April 24th, Monty Montgomery, April 25th, Brad McCool and the Mighty Orc, Sunday, April 26th, and Zydeco legend and Grammy Award-winning artist Terrence Simeon, Friday, May 1st. Fun for the whole family and all ages. For tickets and more information, you can go to texascrawfishfestival.com. Supported in part by 90.1 KPFT Houston. On May 7th, proposed bylaws amendments will be taken up for